Good afternoon to each one. It's been a blessing to be here, to have been instructed. My toes are rather sore from this morning yet, there's a lot to learn, and the subject here this afternoon is not one that I'll exhaust in any way, nor am I speaking from just a whole lot of experience training up a child. But the older I get and I see the next generation coming on in my family, the deeper my burden becomes for us dads to be what we need to be. Parents need to be what we should be, what God would have us do. And that is the burden I speak with this afternoon. Somebody some years ago, after trying to give a little advice to younger parents, we were informed that we didn't have a whole lot to say because we don't have a lot of experience. Well, okay, there's probably a part of truth to that. I don't think what we shared was coming from a lot of experience. It was Bible principle, I believe. Somebody then reminded us that the Bible principles still stand. It is, but God's word is there, and we can learn from it, and we can teach from it. And I'm very grateful that not everything that I teach over the pulpit is something that I have a lot of experience in, because there's a lot of positive things I wish I had experience in, but there's a lot of negatives that we talk about and teach about and warn about, not teach, but warn about, that I don't want experience in. And so, but the subject that's before us this afternoon is actually a positive one. It really is. It's a God-given one. That's why it's positive. That's why it's positive. I thought about it this morning when a brother shared about from the lady's side, the sisters, for a wife to reverence her husband, and some of those things that we can't quite explain on how exactly that works when she does that. You know, the responses might change, or the conversation of her, or a good lifestyle example in front of her unbelieving husband, on what power that could have. And a lot of on all those subjects, the fact remains that when things are done God's way, there's positive results. Okay? There really is. There really is. And so the same applies to child training. If it's done God's way, there's positive results in some way or another. Now, the world's view of this whole thing is extremely warped. Okay, we all know that. We've witnessed that. Some time ago, I came across an article that talked about the destructive nature of spanking your children. Okay, now obviously this was not a Christian article, but it gave us the idea that to discipline by punishment in some way, and particularly spanking, is such a terrible thing done to your child, because it actually destroys their will to do what they want to do. Well, finally, that's actually what spanking is all about. But you know, they're free, the free choice. You can just kind of, you know, don't ruin it for your child. And it was such an article that was kind of disgusting to read. But, you know, in light of God's word and all that we've been taught over the years, it was repulsive, really, because it is so, the opposite is so true. The opposite is so true. Yeah, it breaks that will. Somebody says, let's not break the will. Let's adjust that will. And so whichever way you want to put that this afternoon, Scripture does talk about a broken spirit, and I think that all comes in there as well. And so if I do mention about a broken will this afternoon, I'm talking about one that's been, their own will has been broken and set on the right course. So the world's view obviously is very warped, and some of those ideas can filter in. I think I've seen that happen. Say that thought for just a moment. Let's look at a few verses first. Psalm 127, just a few very, very familiar verses that can kind of set the tune of this whole thing this afternoon. Psalm 127, verse 3, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord." Heritage of the Lord. It's a blessing from God. It's a gift from God. It's a gift, but yet not our own. Okay? And so this afternoon, there's some here that do not have children. There's a lot here that don't have children. But there's probably married ones here that don't have children. And maybe there's married couples here that, well, we just say can't have children. Now, God has chosen at this point not to give you yet children as yet. And let me assure you that raising a godly family is a ministry. It's a work of God. It's a work of the kingdom. But you know, as a couple, and if God has not at this point given you children, and I don't know you, I don't know if there is some here like that or not, but if at this point God has chosen not to give you children yet, that doesn't mean that you're useless. No, God has given you a different ministry. God did not bless my wife and I with a lot of children. We would have loved to have a lot more, but God chose not to give us more, much more. And so we have to keep reminding ourselves there's a different ministry that we have been called to do. And so we're called to ministry. Friends, whoever you are, whether you're married and have children, one or several or many, or if you're married and you do not have any, there's a ministry for you. And if you're not married, there's a ministry for you. God didn't make anything worthless. He's created us to bring him his glory, to build a kingdom, and in whatever ways. And Scripture would be clear with the fact that Apostle Paul, actually, he was not married, obviously. And he reminded us over and over that, you know, there's things that an unmarried can do that a married man can't, or married people can't, and vice versa. And so let's be faithful in where God has called us to serve. Children are heritage of the Lord. Proverbs 22 and verse 6, I think, is where the title is taken from. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So this verse tells us that we need to train up a child in the way he should go. And we'd like to think that the last part says that if we do our training right, they're going to turn out to be godly people, and they're going to turn out to be kingdom builders, and nothing but that. We all know that's not exactly what this interprets to be. But the fact is, if any person that has had some godly teaching, growing up in a godly home and had some godly teaching, that sticks with that person regardless if he turns his back on it or not. Years ago, a congregation we were part of quite a few years ago, there was a young couple that the marriage ended up in a divorce. Well, obviously they had been put out of the church by that time already, but it ended up in a divorce. And later I heard somebody was asking me about, so how's Steve doing? And then his dad made this comment that he's trying to decide whether the teaching that he got about divorce or the remarriage, if that applies to his situation. So here he was, I'm guessing probably in his 30s maybe, and here he was. He remembered the teaching of remarriage and how wrong it was, and how against God's word that was. And he was thinking about this and saying, "Does this really apply to my situation?" Well, apparently somewhere along the line he decided it didn't, because, or he decided just to go against it, whether it did or not, because he did end up getting remarried, and sad situation. But he remembered those things. That's the point I want to make. And here, so we're talking about training up a child in the way he should go. So in what way do you want these dear little children to go? Okay? And so we got a wide range of age of children here. We got tiny babies, and we got toddlers sitting on your laps or beside you, and we got older ones, and we got the youth here up front, and that's great. I love seeing the different ages together here. So obviously we're thinking about right at the beginning. So we have this baby, we've got this toddler, we've got this young child. Here it says we need to train up a child in the way he should go. I remember years ago too when I think our oldest son was just born and he was this tiny baby, and I got that tiny little bit of new dad fear in me and saying, you know what, now I've got this responsibility. I've got this young son. How's this going to go? How am I going to know how to teach and train this child? Because I want to set him on the right way, and how's this going to be? And I remember thinking, I remember thinking that, you know what, there's many older ones that have gone before me that can help me out. And they have, that have helped me out. And so in the way that he should go, now, whose way? Okay? In the way that we think he should go? Now, if we're godly parents, then yes, the way we think he should go. God's way is obviously what we're thinking about, what we're looking at. But then there's a couple different ways. Are we out to, so dads, we got these sons, and we want them to be prosperous, right? We want them to be the good farmers and carpenters and businessmen that we are. And so we want to teach them well. We want them to understand business life. We want them to understand on how this works and how to be prosperous in these things. And in a way, there's nothing wrong with that, okay? But this verse goes way beyond that. Or your mothers are saying, well, we got these daughters and we want them to be, you know, keepers at home eventually, and all those fine things of womanhood and the things that go with all that. We want them to learn that. So we're going to train them up in a way that he should go in these ways. And that's all important if we think of all that under the direction of God's will, God's way. Now, there's something way beyond business life and earthly life. Though we want to do all that in the context of God's word and kingdom living, by all means. But there's a way of training him in godly living as well. Might not think about that exactly as we think of these babies in our arms, but, you know, we need to remember that these youngsters that we've got, that God has blessed us with, the heritage that we've received from the Lord, you know, they have an eternal soul. They have an eternal soul. And so as this child grows up, they're going to face life, and they're going to have to make a decision who their master is going to be. They need to make that decision. And the time comes, you know, we go on, and finally they reach the end of life, and they reach eternity and stop there, because eternity is a destination. It's a stopping point. And so they're heading that way. The children that God has given you are heading that way. Especially if they all are, but if they're growing to adulthood, what do we want to see? What would God want these youngsters to do? What would God want these young people to do in serving him? And we need to set them on that course. Now, I've seen too many parents not train their children. We're talking about training up a child. I've seen so many of them not train in the way I would call train. The world trains theirs as well, okay? In a sense of being selfish and ungodly, like this father that was at Walmart and they wanted to buy this jug of laundry detergent. And he says, you know, there's nobody around. He says, children, this is actually how you do it. You know, he opened a cap and he says, you see this jug isn't full? You open up this one, you fill this up, put the caps on, you grab the full one, and you go pay for it. He just trained his children to be thieves, to be dishonest. He just untrained them that way. And And that's the way they're probably going to keep going. Because Dad trained me that way. That's not what we want of our children. We want godly people. We want people that are going to serve the Lord and build His kingdom. Build His kingdom. So there's also other parents, plain people, churchgoers, that have this concept that, yeah, we're going to teach them when they're young, we're really, really young, and when they get to school, there's a lot of things they're going to have to make decisions on their own, and there is. As children get older, they do make decisions on their own somewhat. But, you know, I recently heard a dad tell me this, that his children went to a school where there was a wide range of churches, sending them anything from the plainest to the borderline-ish, you know, barely Mennonites or anything like that, you know. But he said that was really good for him because that gave him a worldview of, I mean, a church view, I guess, of all these different churches, and then it could help them decide where they want to go. I don't know how you think about that, but it kind of struck me a little odd because though the congregation that we're part of and a conference we're part of is not the only godly one, but, you know, let's set them on a good course. Let's train them. Let's not just spank them a little bit when they're young and then we hope they're going to make the right decisions. We hope they choose to follow mom and dad, but if they don't, you know, as long as they profess Christ in some way. It's a lot more serious matter than that. It's an eternal soul that is a growing up, heading for an eternal destiny. You know, we can't make the decisions for them, okay? And I'm sure your dad sitting there would love to make the decisions for your children, and your mothers too. You would love to make the decisions for them, but we can't do that, okay? We can't do that. We're here to love them. We're here to set them on a good foundation. Set them on a good foundation in the way that he should go in godly kingdom living. That's what we can do. And you know, some of them might not continue building on that foundation. But one thing we can do, parents, is make it very hard for them not to. Okay? We can make them hard not to. These things that we teach them that are not going to depart from them, let's put that in our minds in a right, godly way. Let's put them in our minds so that their minds are absorbed to that. They've got this godly examples to follow. They've got it there that when they come to that crossroad, that it should be easy for them. Well, no, there might be battles, okay? You might think of, well, for your youth, it was a battle. And it can be. It's probably a battle for all of us. Because why? We finally, when we realize that we're at the crossroads of life and we need to make a decision, are we going to continue with Christ? Or are we going to choose Christ? Or we can continue the way we are? John 3 tells us that unless we choose Christ, at that crossroads, we're already condemned because we haven't chosen Christ. Okay, John 3 tells us that. And so at that crossroad, there's a battle, that is, because at that crossroad, I need to let go of myself. I need to become dead unto myself and alive unto God. And so am I willing to give up myself? Am I willing to give up? So the battles are there. But let's lay that good foundation for them and teach them and prepare them for that time when they come to that crossroad at whatever age that may be. This afternoon, I do not plan to give a lot of fine details about training your children, okay? But I would like to set or just share a few principles that you could build off of and apply to your situation in your family. Before we go into that practical side of it, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Let's take a look here at the example that God has for us. When we talk about training our children, there's different ways of doing that. There's different methods of doing that, and there's different, aspects to that. Different parts of that. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5. We're just going to break right in here. And start in verse 5. 5 to 7. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? We have this word chastisement. We have this word rebuketh. We have this word scourgeth. That's all part of the chastening process that God does for his people. And I love the example here of Heavenly Father. He loves his son, he says. He loves his children. And that is that father-son relationship there. And in that love is where he teaches and trains us. Okay, and so we too often, at least my understanding of this for a long time would be, and so if I get too carried away with my own thing, that God would punish me in some way to bring me back on track again. This word chastisement and chastening here is actually talking about training. He's teaching and training the way you do your children. You know, the first time this youngster reached for that flower pot, you know, there's something awfully attractive about a flower pot, you know. And the youngsters, they crawl up there, you know, they stand up and they want to tip this thing over. You don't take this child in the back room and spank him right away for the first time he tipped that thing over. You wouldn't even think about doing such a thing. I hope you don't. But you say, no, child, don't. And you might push it back just a little bit, possibly take him away. You're training this child, right? So you're training him. You're chastising him. And so the next time he does it again, next time, you know, reminds me of the example some time ago. I was working last winter. I was working in my shop with my oldest son and his little boy. His little boy at that time was not quite 2 years old yet, and so he wanted to see what Daddy and Grandpa were doing on the workbench. So I set him up there, and he's kind of walking around and picking up screws and handing me screws when I needed them or when I didn't need them. And so he kept it, and he saw his daddy there on this board. And so process of establishing this wood, my son took his pencil, made a bunch of squiggly lines on this wood. That way, once he got it sanded and planed, he knew which was still a low spot, which wasn't. And so his son picked up the screw, and he wanted to do the same thing Daddy did. And he said, son, no, we're not scratching this wood up. So we kind of took the screw away, and before long, there's another screw, and, you know, he wanted to do it. And he said, son, no, let's just leave that alone. And, he kind of got distracted with some things, and after a while, you know, he wanted to do the same thing Daddy did. And finally, he took a slap on the hand. He was teaching and training his son. You see what I'm saying? He did not slap him the first time. And if the child is old enough to understand, it might have been okay. But he was teaching him and training him. And finally, you know what? He needed to scourge him a little bit. That's what God does to us. Okay? And so that's the way we treat our children. That's the way we should be treating our children. The teaching and training in those small little ways. And help them to understand why we're saying no. Help them to understand why we have the rules we do. And sometimes they might not understand, but what they need to understand is Dad's word stands, okay? Even though they may not comprehend everything right away, but they will eventually. That's the way God has for us. He deals with us as with sons, and it's a beautiful picture we have there. And, you know, there's sometimes that scourging, and that happens. That happens. And sometimes God does have to spank us in a harder way to get our attention. But you know what? He does it out of love. He doesn't do it out of spite, but he does it out of love, and because he wants us to be the best people we can be for him, right? That's what I told my son years ago when I was pulling him aside to give him some scourging. I said, son, the reason I do this is because I love you. And it's going to hurt Daddy more than it's going to hurt you. And I want you to grow up to be the best boy you can be for the Lord. That's what God does for us. And that should be our goal, and that should be our vision for our children. That should be our vision. Not just to grow up to be good citizens, but we want them to be able to join the kingdom of God. We want them to be active in the kingdom of God. We want them to be successful in a godly way in the kingdom of God. We want them to make heaven their home. And strive for that. And so that's what That's why we need to train up a child in the way he should go. In the way he should go. So what are some of these principles we want to talk about this morning? Well, one very obvious one that we do in training up our children is simply meeting their needs. Meeting their needs. You say, what does that have to do with training up a child? It does in a lot of ways. We need to have a home, fellow parents this morning, we need to have a home that is secure. We need to have a home that's loving. And we need to have a home that they feel loved and secure in, that is going to meet their physical needs. And the physical needs are many. And whatever those are that your family needs, we need to be faithful in that. Not only meeting their physical needs, that's kind of a given. We know that, right? That's kind of a given. And so let's be faithful in that. But what about the emotional needs of your children? Are we meeting the emotional needs of your children? You know, when a baby cries, when a small baby cries, we know generally pretty good that something is needed, right? Okay? There's some needs there, and they get very demanding sometimes. But that crying, the mother, I mean, they jump. You know, they know what needs. And that's not exactly emotional needs. Those are probably physical needs. But, you know, those kind of expressions turn into emotion. The emotional needs turn into emotions. You know, the very evident thing in this is that when a child is crying, he needs something. Okay? So the first thing a mother does when the baby cries, what, I just fed him, it's dry. And so what more, you know, there's something. You know, a child, most of the times when a child cries, he needs something. And it's a way of emotion, it's his way of communicating. And so let's think about that. And same thing goes into, I wasn't going to go into, well, I said not a lot of fine details, right? But here's one that might be more of a finer detail to bring out this point of meeting the emotional needs. And I don't know where you stand on this, so I'm just going to head and speak freely. I've seen parents where they have taken their young children, okay, their young children, not tiny babies necessarily, but fairly young children, few months old, and so we put them down for the night, and the baby's still crying, but we cover it up, and we close the door most of the way, and the light is off, because the understanding and teaching that you will get from some people out there, and saying that they need to have some sleep training, all right, so they're going to cry themselves to sleep, and they're going to realize that mommy's not going to do anything, I might as well fall asleep. That poor darling doesn't know that yet. It can't process those kind of things yet. And I've seen the emotional damage that can happen to children when that happens. It may work for some. So I don't know where you stand on this, but I'm just going to speak that clearly. It may work for some. When that child is crying, he needs something. He might not need a drink. He might not need a dry diaper. He might not need that blanket. He might just need security. Okay? And you know what? Security in those young children, my friends, is a very, very important thing. I'm not talking about overdoing it. I'm just talking about proper security for that child. It is a frightening thing to be left alone in a dark room. It's a frightening thing. Mom and dad are far away. They're over there in the living room and they can hear the conversation. And I don't know how that mind processes that. But think about it this way. When a child is crying, he needs something. You know, as a child gets older, and he realizes and knows, and he's been trained properly, that when we put to bed, it's time to be quiet, okay? It's time to be quiet. But the children still is crying. Maybe he's begging for something, and maybe there's a bunch of things to be afraid of, you know, and all those kind of things. But we've done what we could to meet that security for that child. You know, sometimes if a child is old enough, understand me right, child is old enough, he's still crying, he's still not satisfied, he just may need a BED, you know what I mean? A bottom-end discipline. That's what he needs, okay? When a child is old enough to understand, when the training has been done. and then put them back into bed after that. Okay? And so, not only young children, the emotional needs of the children in your home. Okay? We're not only focusing on these babies and 3 or 4 year olds. What about the emotional needs of your young people? Emotional needs of those school children. Oh, they come home and some terrible things happen at school because I wasn't able to pick the game I wanted to play. Nobody really enjoyed what we did play. Meet the emotional needs of your children. It probably wasn't as bad, but help them to understand that. Meet their emotional needs. Meet their needs. You know, and then there's this all builds bridges to be able to meet their spiritual needs. Okay? Meet the spiritual needs of your families. Parents, that's what you have been called to do. Okay? This heritage that you got of God was given to you to meet their spiritual needs. Do you have that family worship at home? It can be a challenge sometimes when the schedule is really busy for time. But you know, if your schedule continues to be really busy all year long, so you don't have time for family worship, may I suggest you kind of make some adjustments other than dropping out family worship? There's probably something else that needs to be adjusted to not drop family worship. Parents, children need to hear Dad read the scriptures and pray. Yes, needs to do that. They might need help with their Sunday school lessons. We take time for that. Time to take them to church, church activities, church functions, church prayer meetings. It's been said that if children ask if we're going to go to the service tonight, if we're going to go to prayer meeting, if that's a regular question for them, then the parents have probably missed something, okay? And so think about that. What are we doing? Another way that what we need to do to our children, we need to have a listening ear, a listening ear. And I'm talking about some real listening, okay? I'm talking about some real listening. And I was reminded of this here just a few weeks ago. I was sitting at my desk doing some desk work, and the young lad that's living with us at present time, he stopped by my office to say goodnight. He'll go out of his way to come and say goodnight to me, and it blesses me. But I was sitting there at the front of the computer and had whatever paperwork I was doing, and the door was behind me, and he opened the door, and he said, okay, good night, sleep well. And I just stared ahead, and I said, okay, good night, Gerald, I hope you sleep well. And I kept right on going, and it kind of hit me. I wasn't really listening. I heard what he said. I said good night. But what difference could it have made for him? He goes out of his way. He'll go halfway across the house to come say goodnight to me when he could have jumped into bed and went to sleep. And why would I not turn around and actually listen and look him in the face? It does something. And it smote me, and I look forward to doing better when I get back home. Okay, this happened just before we left. But I'm talking about real listening. And so sometimes we hear the things that happen around the supper table, right? All the chatter of all the day and whatever else, we hear those kind of things. But are we really listening to what they are saying? What they are really communicating with us, to us, and communicating to each other? Do we really listen? Do we really listen to what they are saying? It's such an important thing, because not only are we teaching and training them, but we're trying to build relationship with them. We're building relationship with them. We also need to take time for them. And a lot of these things are taking time for them, but really taking time for them. Okay? A number of years ago, when our oldest son was I don't know, 10 or 11 years old, he told me a time or so, he said, Dad, let's do something together. I said, well, son, we are. We're doing this project. We're building this fence here, and we're doing this in the garden together. And I said, we are doing things together. No, he said, do my stuff together. Now, that hurt, because obviously this dad wasn't doing everything he should have been doing for his son. There's something about spending way too much time in hobbies. That's not what he was asking for. He wanted some alone time with dad in the shop doing his stuff. Okay? And parents, not only dad, but the girls need time with mom. They need to do time with their stuff on their level. Whether it's those 8 or 9 year olds, whether it's dads, we can build blocks on the floor too, right? We can sit on the floor with our toddlers and build those blocks and let them bash them down and push tractors and trailers and go blum blum on the floor. We can all do that. Okay? Does it look childish? That's great. It's spending time on their level, okay? And as they get older, you know, it's like this little boy, he comes home inside, and he says, Mom, he said, I built this castle in the sandbox. I want you to come look at it. And his mom says, I'm busy right now. I can't. After a while, he comes back. Mom, you got to see this castle I got built out here. Son, I'm busy. I have no time to come out there and look at it. And he's asked a third time. He finally says, Mom. Okay, so the story goes. I don't know if he actually did it, but he brought out a point. He said, Mom, if you don't have time to come look at my castles, are you going to have time to see the castles in heaven? You know, how much time do we have? If we don't have time for them when they're young, are they going to have time for us when they get older? Are we going to have time for them when they get older? You know what? The teenagers still need us. Yeah, they do. They sure do. You know, Proverbs tells us, keep the heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And, you know, we like to teach that. We like to share that with our young people. So keep your heart with all diligence, you know. And that's so important and true. But you know what? Our teenagers need dads and moms to help them keep their heart with all diligence. How well are we doing? Are we taking time for them on their level? Another principle that we need to consider, not only consider, we need to seriously do in our homes, and that is to safeguard our homes. Safeguard our homes. What do we mean by that? Well, we hear those terms different times. But do you know what your children are reading? Or nowadays, it's hardly reading anymore. Do you know what they're listening to? Are you okay with what they're listening to and what they're actually reading? Are you okay with all those novels and et cetera? Are you okay with what they're listening to? I think it's very, very important that the parents know what is going on in these areas. Of course it's important. It's one way we safeguard our home. Because remember, these are eternal souls that we are raising here. These are gifts from God. We read that the verse that we read yesterday in 1 Corinthians. You know, we have been given these children to teach and to train, and we have to eventually let them go and turn them over in God's hands. They are not ours. We are stewards of the manifold grace of God. And so let's do what we can. And what are they reading? What are they listening to? Is it godly? Is it building up? Is it edifying? Is it okay? Or is it quickly turned off when mom and dad comes around? It should be a red flag in our minds if that happens. Unless you've been talking to them and been calling them and you go up close and you know what? But you know what I'm talking about. The other thing we need to do and safeguard our homes is know where our children are at. Very, very, very important. Especially, youngsters playing together. Innocent. An innocent can be ruined. Innocence can be ruined. Let's know where they are. Not only the youngsters, but it's okay if we know where our teenagers are at. Okay? Now, young people, it's okay if mom and dad know where you're at. They should be able to know where you're at. It should be totally okay. Okay? It should be totally okay if they know where you're at. Communicate with them. Communicate with them. One big difference from today, or there's some... The general culture in our Mennonite circles today is so different than when I grew up. You know, I did not have my own vehicle till I was 21. Okay, our culture said children are not on their own till they hit 21, and so I did not have my own vehicle. And if I wanted to go to youth activities or some other activity, guess what? I asked Dad for the car. Well, it usually wasn't the car; it was probably the farm pickup. Okay. And this wasn't no shined up thing or, you know, something special. I might have washed the old farm truck and took it. But, you know, I had to ask Dad to be able to use the vehicle. And I like that thought because not back then, but now I do, because it made me accountable to Dad. And so the first question, what does Dad ask? Where are you going? Exactly. Kept me accountable. And I think that is so good. That is so good. And so, young people, even if you have your own cars, communicate with your parents where you're at. It builds trust, okay? Trust is not demanded. It is earned, okay? And so it builds trust. Communicate that with them. The other thing as parents that we need to do is give timely and appropriate teaching. Okay? Your parents know what I'm talking about. Timely and appropriate teaching about themselves and life. Okay? Descriptive enough. But you know what I'm talking about, and I think it is very, very important. Because the fact is, if they don't learn it from you in appropriate time and setting, they will learn it from somebody else. And then you have no control over it. Okay? Not that, you do want to control it. I was going to say, not that you have to, but you do. It is your God-given responsibility and mine to properly, timely, and appropriately teach these children these things. And let them learn it from you in an appropriate setting and in a timely manner. They need to know it. They need to know it. The other thing is, all under safeguarding of our homes, is fathers, be there for them. Be there for them. And what I'm saying that is that, wait a minute, I'm going way over time, right? But fathers, be there for them. And that's not just physically present, okay? What I'm talking about is connect with them. Too often we get busy in life and we get so preoccupied in our work and in our ministry and thinking about the bills that need to be paid that I can sit at the supper table with my children around the table and I am in a different world. I'm thinking about that meeting I need to go to tonight and I'm thinking how that's going to work out, or I'm thinking about how are we going to pay these bills that just came in? And maybe it's that work from that we just didn't quite finish, and I'm going to quickly hurry eat supper so I can finish that. We get preoccupied with these things. Fathers, be there with your children in your mind and in your spirit. Because that is a beautiful opportunity around the supper table and many other places, but it's a time for you to really listen. And so they might not be talking to you, but they're communicating to you by communicating and visiting with each other. And you can hear things. You can hear things, and you're connected with their life. And you might hear things that may alarm you or may concern you. And you may say, you store that away and say, I need to talk to him about that afterwards in private. Okay? Be there. Be there. The other thing is that recently I heard about this man that had lived in sin, okay, a life of impurity for many of his married years, and maybe before, I don't know the history of it all, okay? But then also, first of all, I heard about the problem among his children of the same thing, And then I heard that Dad had been living in this kind of sin and corruption for many years. Okay, and a dad that is, I'll try to be discreet with it, but a dad that is absorbed in that kind of corruption is not there for his children, because there is a load of guilt that goes with that, that you're going to be absorbed with, and you're not going to connect with your children because that thing is on your mind, and whatever level it may be, okay, whatever level it may be, and then guess what? If there's any inkling to the children on what's happening to Dad, that almost gives them, in quotes, a license to mess with it and play with it themselves. So be careful. Be careful. You understand what I'm saying, but be there, okay? If that's where you're finding yourself, deal with it. Deal with it and repent of it and be there for your children. Be there for your children. Enough said on that. And not only know where they are, but know who they associate with, I think is very important as well. Amen. It's not because we don't trust them. It's because we want to trust them. And so, young people, again, communicate with your parents. Tell them who's all going to be there. And it's okay if dad asks, so who's all going fishing? Do you do that here? Is there enough water around to go fishing? Who's all going to be there at the get-together Sunday evening? Okay? Communicate. Let that freely know. Fathers and parents, know who your young people associate with. It makes a difference. Yes, it does. It makes a difference. You know, children have a desire to give their hearts to someone. Okay? They have a desire to have somebody to look up to. Okay? And the desire of men, of young men especially, you know, of men is more of a status thing. Not really a status, but be the leaders. God has made them that way. We want to lead out. We want to be something. Okay? And I'm talking about that in the right way. That's okay. We want to be that man of God we should be. Okay? But on this side, you know what? These dear young ladies up front here, they want to give their hearts to someone. And it's okay, dads, if they give their hearts to you, right? Till the time comes where you hand that over to somebody else. Okay? Because the greatest need in this side of the house is security. And these young ladies up front, they're still learning how to live life. Well, maybe we all do, but you know they're young and they're learning how to live life and they want to give their heart and have security. They know that I can come to dad and he provides in a secure way for me those emotional and et cetera needs that I have. Okay, they want somebody to trust. And remember this, if they don't give your hearts to you, as parents, they're going to give their hearts to somebody. Again, guard that with all diligence and with all due respect to everybody. Now, just one more thing here yet. No, maybe two, whatever it is. Understand me right when I say this, but don't let your children go too soon. Okay? Don't let them go too soon. I'm not talking while they finally reach halfway through school. Now, no. They might reach the teenage years, okay? But don't let them go too soon to where they are free to do anything, just their own decisions. I've taught and trained everything I want to now, and these teenagers now, they can make their own decisions, and that's great. Don't let go too soon. I've seen what happens. And so I just plead with you, don't, okay? Help them keep their heart with all diligence. Your involvement changes. I understand that. Your involvement changes. It's not the day-to-day involvement anymore, but be there for them. Help them, okay? And don't turn them loose too soon on everything of their own. It's okay to stop the son as he's heading out the door and say, son, I'm not sure if that shirt is okay for tonight. Stop him. Teach them. Train them those kind of things. Point them to the scriptures. There's a lot of maturing, I've noticed, that happens between 18 and 21. It was just amazing how mature I was at 18. You know, just amazingly mature. But now I'm 51 and I still wonder sometimes, okay? But anyway, there's a lot maturing that happens between 18 and 21. I watched both of my boys that way, the same way, okay? There's things that happen and all of a sudden things make a lot more sense. They understand, actually, what Dad was talking about. Okay, and when they get a little older, they hit 25 and have children of their own, it makes a lot more sense. Okay, and those things can keep going. Things can keep going. One more thing that is so important that wraps us all up, I believe, is in the midst of all this teaching and training, we want to teach these children about kingdom living. I talked about that. We're training them for the kingdom. Teach them what kingdom living really looks like. And so, dads, again, have that discussion with your boys, okay? What does kingdom living look like? And so these boys want to buy pickup trucks. Maybe you all own one by now, but anyway, so the younger ones are still thinking about pickup trucks. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with owning a pickup truck. But talk about it, dads. Talk to your young people about it. What fits the kingdom? Okay, and sometimes I hear discussion among the boys about, you know, such and such a pickup truck and those over there drive, and then I have to question my boy sometimes. So how does that pickup truck quite fit into the kingdom? Okay? Talk about kingdom living. And mothers, you do the same thing. Okay? It may be that hairstyle. Okay? It may be that dress. It may be whatever else it may be, that dress fabric. There's things that we need to talk about. Let's not just tell them, well, this isn't good. This is kingdom living. Talk about the kingdom is what I'm trying to get at. Point them out and saying, how does that fit into the kingdom of God? And be plain and open about it as you're discussing it. They need to understand what the kingdom of God can look like. Okay? Not just because we don't do that, our church doesn't allow it. Why doesn't your church allow it? Okay? Why did you choose not to do such and such? Why do you choose to say no to different things? How do that all fit into the kingdom of God? Well, a lot more could be said. My time is more than gone. Malachi 4 verse 6 says, tells us that doing it God's way will turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. So my burden this afternoon, parents, is let's do it God's way. There's children that we're teaching and training for the kingdom, and let's make them as profitable in the kingdom as God would have them be. We can't do everything. God does his part. But let's do what God is asking us to do. God bless each one of you as you train your children.